Social media giant Instagram has bowed to public pressure and introduced default privacy protections for its teenage users. Now, younger users who sign up will automatically be given a private account, which means the account holder has to approve people who want to follow and see their content. Our regular tech commentator and analyst, these days with the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, Ariel Bogle, joins us with more on this. Hiya, Ariel.
Good morning, Fran.
So what are the changes Instagram has made to the teenagers' accounts, and what do they do? What do they achieve?
Sure. Well, if you've ever signed up for an Instagram account, you'll know that it defaults to public automatically. So all kinds of people can follow you, see your content, see your Instagram stories. And so as you flagged, the change here is that if you indicate when signing up that you're under 16 or under 18 in some countries, you'll default automatically to a private account. And so as you said, you'll have to approve people to follow you and see your content. There's also some other changes around blocking suspicious accounts. So people can sort of send you a message on Instagram that if, you know, somebody else has gotten a message from somebody they don't want and they've reported that message or blocked and seen some, suspicious activity and interaction with other young people accounts, they'll also be blocked from interacting. So that's just one of a suite of changes Instagram has made to kind of shore off its teenage users, because, of course, people under 13 should not be using the app according to the terms and conditions, but there is that gap between 13 and adulthood that they're really concerned about.
Yeah, and there was a fair bit of criticism of that, wasn't it, about them opening to that age group. Do you think this is going to work?
Well, this is a great question, right? Because, of course, you can lie about your age. It's not that hard. You just choose a different year group. But in
its not hard at all then.
Yes, in a blog post about these changes, Instagram flagged that it was staying away from asking people for ID, for example. They flagged issues with that, like access, people not even having ID in some cases, and, of course, privacy issues. They said that they would be using AI, actually, in some cases, to try and work out people's age. So say if somebody wished somebody a happy birthday and they said quinceañera, you know, indicating that they were just turning 15, that maybe they would prompt that account to ask if they want to switch to a private account rather than a public one. They did emphasize, though, they wouldn't be using, say, facial recognition to work out age, but some of those other context clues. So, you know, it's certainly imperfect, but it is one way that Instagram's trying to address all that pressure it's been under because of the way the accounts of young people have been treated, and indeed how advertisers have targeted young people as well.
Yeah, now Instagram's popular, but even more popular is sites like TikTok, for instance, hundreds of millions of users. Will this change see more pressure on other social media companies, do you think?
Well, certainly I think there's a lot of pressure on all these companies of how they treat the accounts of young people and the kind of content young people get exposed to, and also the way advertisers have been able to target young people. And this change is for Instagram as well. They're going to limit advertisers to only be able to target people based on age, gender and location if they're under 18, rather than that more precision targeting around interests or activity on other websites. But I think all these platforms are really under pressure, especially because of legal changes in some countries. So an NBC article about these Instagram changes flagged, for example, some new laws in the UK, the Age Appropriate Design Code, which demands that all platforms default to the strictest possible privacy settings for people under 18. And certainly with TikTok, there's issues around public and private accounts too, so maybe they should be looking at some of these changes as well.
And Ariel, there's an effort by some of the biggest tech companies, the US tech companies, including Facebook and Microsoft, to tackle online extremism through something called the Global Internet Forum to counter terrorism. What is this forum, and are the tech companies involved, or are they running it effectively?
Well, they're effectively running it, I would say. So this group was founded in 2017, with the founding members being Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter and YouTube. And they do a range of activities trying to curtail the spread of extremist and terrorist activity online. But I think most importantly, they maintain a database of hashes. So these are essentially digital fingerprints of video and images of terrorist imagery in video. And this is used to try and block this kind of content before it's even uploaded or say if a terrorist video has been shared online, sharing that hash among these companies and using it to block the further spread of this content. But it's announced some changes which are quite interesting and a little controversial, in fact. They've announced they're going to add some attacker manifestos and key publications and content, especially the kind of content linked to neo-Nazi and white supremacist groups. So we might think of some of the manifestos that have been published online by, say, the Christchurch terrorist. And this kind of move would be an attempt to block the upload and spread of that kind of content too. But of course, this does give a lot of power to these private companies once again.
Yeah, it does. And that's the way they like it. Errol, thank you very much.
Thank you, Fran.
Errol Bogle, an analyst with ASPE, the Australian Strategic Policy Institute.